Blog Talk Radio.
And Lakesh, and greetings to our listeners out here in the world. This is Makua Ray, and you have tuned in to Calendar Truth on Now Time Radio. Wanted to open the show tonight with that great song, One Love, that intention, that energy of healing and energy of restoration, especially on today, this being Earth Day internationally, what is known as April 22nd in the Gregorian calendar. But we also like to track other perspectives of time on this show, hence Calendar Truth here on Now Time. So again, welcome to the show tonight. I also want to give a special shout out to my good brother, Ruben Yinas, who is on the line from Bogota, live from Bogota. Greetings, brother.
Greetings, Brother McQueen, Lakesh, to you and to Alakin. All the listeners who are now tuning in. Or in the future, it doesn't matter because
right.
we are making this special broadcast also to live like a document or a test that can survive the pass of time, and we tend to lose memory of some of the more crucial aspects that are playing out right now. And so it's important to have these shows, to have the continuity of our latest broadcast, because we kind of open the subject of how the calendar we use has these special days called holidays. Sometimes today is just like a celebration, international celebration for Earth. But it connects back to the fact that the calendar is a program. So we program our lives according to this program. And today we are doing this show also because it's a Sunday and everyone in Sunday is more relaxed. And we are trying to approach what is happening on Earth, on this Earth Day, with a calm and very real perspective also. Also trying to put out there a vision of the future that looks better than what we have right now. So, but in order to do that, we need to go first and look to the ways that this calendar, this program, is manipulated to perpetrate these acts of war that are sending shockwaves across the planet, and especially the last 2 weeks have been very tense for many, including myself. Also for you, coinciding with your birthday. So it is a special, really special month for many reasons. We touch just some of those parts of or those layers during the April Fool's Day special, the Resurrection Sunday, which was another important day in the calendar because it's a Christian calendar.
That's right.
And today is Earth Day, but it has the other, it has a connection more with the memory of those who have served and helped us reach to this point still alive, including one of the promoters of Earth Day, Dr. Jose Argüelles and Loidin, the work that they did, the seeds that they planted back in the 80s with the Harmonic Convergence are still alive.
Mm-hmm.
And that that were planted even before that in California at the UC Davis campus with the first Whole Earth Festival happened, and that was kind of the inspiration for Earth Day. So it is it's very important for us to keep all those memory threads alive so that we can appreciate the importance of the time that we are living and how we can also influence our future by
especially
dissecting and by opening the conversation on these subjects that are actually new for even new for us, because we have not touched kind of on the dark aspects of the Gregorian calendar, but this seems to be like an important time to raise awareness about the sensitivity of this window and the spirit also of this day, how it's so important
I think it's interesting what you're speaking to, because as you mentioned, the dark aspects of the Gregorian calendar, I think it's important that we're really aware that there has been, for a very long time, an extended campaign to essentially manipulate the natural energies toward certain ends that are not harmonious. Those ends are destructive.
Yeah.
And the fact is, these natural cycles, be it the springtime, and how that correlates to what is referred to as the month of April, or going from, you know, late March into mid-April through where we find ourselves now, how this window is a very potent window for creativity. It's a potent window for energy itself to be recycled and regenerated and born anew. However, what happens when in the birthing process somebody stands in the way to receive that which is born and uses that which they've gotten in the middle of for their own means? And I want to put it like that just because
yes.
It's important that we don't lose sight of the fact that even as there are very deep and long-standing campaigns to manipulate the energy, the same energy is available to each one of us. And as we begin to comprehend our place and purpose in time, space, and nature, then we can also begin to reimagine and activate our role, our rights, and our responsibility to that awareness of what it means to be living in natural time, living in sync, living in harmony with nature. That's not a passive relationship. In fact, it's the most potent creative relationship. The real question becomes, can we clarify who we are, even though there's loud bullhorns here out here telling us who we should be? Can we cognize within ourselves and remember, as you said, these threads, how do we retain the memory of truly, in fact, who we are and what we're facing as a responsibility due to the fact that there are very overt intentions to manipulate the energy and to catalyze conflicts and war and destabilizing elements and forces. These forces, in an interesting way, all the same, are also a catalytic part of nature. So it's not just such a black and white, cut and dry scenario. We have to really appreciate there are nuances here. And where we find ourselves in a big picture scope, when we talk about these calendars and tracking time and the bigger cycles of time, they're necessarily for our evolution has been this phase which we're currently in. I want to really be clear. We're in a transitional phase. We've talked about 2012, for example. In past shows, it became something of an awareness to the larger population of humanity that something was happening, although even that message was manipulated by similar forces that have ulterior motives or destructive agendas. And that exists, to be very clear. That does exist.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's not new news, although many, many people have unfortunately been asleep to these points. And you know, the ceremonies and the rituals and the rites of Western religion and how that ties into the calendar and the artificial timing is a very intricate thing. And it's also, in many ways, destabilizing for people in terms of their emotional attachment to those particular dogmas or institutions that they've been raised into or conditioned into believing is the way it is, where there are many expressions of what is, and it all is what it is. So how we're being made to expand and remember is a really interesting thing, and it comes with a lot of pressure. It comes with this crackling on the line. I'm not sure if you're hitting the microphone or something, but it keeps making a static noise.
I'm sorry. Yeah, probably it's because
I have my
paperwork here, my documents here, so I'm going to try to stay very quiet.
Okay, no, it's okay. It just was distracting a little bit, but I guess the point I'm making is there's catalytic energy that's abound right now. We see it showing up as conflict. It's not a new thing. We'll get into that in a little bit. I mean, these are recurring cycles that link to astrology with an appreciation of natural cycles in that way that are manipulated and that rites and rituals are performed around these things. The same as with, you know, other holidays that are embedded into the conditioning of the Gregorian calendar as a program, as you said before. So what we're doing in this show is empowering listeners to really take a consideration into who am I? What impact has my conditioning to the Gregorian calendar had in my life and in my decisions and my choices and my direction in life? And is it bringing me, if I've become aware of the fact that these, the calendar system and these other systems of relative antiquity for the past few hundred years have served to control certain aspects of our creative will, what do we begin to do when we deconstruct that? We begin to recognize and remember, you know, there were times when we as humanity and tribes and communities have lived in sync and in tune with nature. That's something that actually is present in everybody, because everybody's lineage has an indigenous memory. Everybody's lineage does. We do, as we talked with our good friend Katie a few weeks ago on the show, and she was sharing with us about the point of really connecting with our ancestors and really realizing the work of this time. It's also to really serve as a conduit, if you will, of this transformative energy. You know, and it's not necessarily everybody's at different stages with the work, but we're all connected to the same earth. And I think that that's a really important focus today, as with every day it should be, but our sacred trust and relationship with the planet and what that really means. What does that mean in terms of our ecological responsibility to recycle and to reuse and to reduce waste and to stop using plastics if we can, and to use glass bottles and materials that are going to, you know, be more wholesome for ourselves and the environment, and being responsible in those physical ways. But what does it also mean energetically and telepathically in relationship to a person listening to their heart's call? What is your heart telling you to do right now, and in what ways have you resisted? Because the resistance to doing what you are born to do has a lot to do with fear and really that programming. The small system embeds fear at every turn. So we're constantly bombarded through the fake news in the fake news of things that are being assailed against humanity and that are actually tragic. I'm not minimizing the effect of these things. However, we also have to realize that part of that is the ploy to keep us entrained in fear. So we have to resist. We have to resist that. And this is what this platform is meant to do as well, is to really consider these things so that this is a form of resistance. To say, if there is another way to begin to harmonize and synchronize ourselves in relationship to each other as communities, as peer-to-peer exchange, or even as larger agreements that help us synchronize with nature's cycles, if there's a calendar that literally can support that transition or systems change, then we want to really give it the due observation that it's worth. You know, it just, for me, it goes back to when I first realized and learned, due to the work of Jose and Lady Narguez specifically, when I first questioned, wow, I had never thought about the impact the Gregorian calendar had on us. And it was just such an epiphany and an awakening that took place when I just let that sink in, literally sinking in.
Yeah.
If I could get in,
it takes time.
And let that awareness sink in. It takes time. But it also happens when you really just step back and consider, wow, we've really been duped in a major, major way.
Yeah. Major
and it
way.
Continues to happen. And so the way it expresses itself now is very, very interesting. So I just wanted to give that reflection on what you're saying, because there is an urgency. Let's be clear. There's an urgency now. There's an absolute urgency that comes with the awareness of these peaking and cresting events that are sort of reaching this fever pitch. However, approaching it from a place of empowerment as opposed to approaching it from a place of being oppressed by it is a major difference.
Absolutely.
And so we want to make sure that listeners out here are not fearing to learn more and be aware. Like, go into that with a knowing that these things are a part of this major catalytic shift. And I wanted to say, back to the telepathy with the Earth, you know, the idea and the concept or the notion of the noosphere, which is a concept that's about 100 years old now, I would say. We've talked about it in the past, but it was a term coined by Pierre Teilhard de Chardin and Vladimir Vernadsky, who came together to counsel on this idea of the thinking layer of Earth and what would be the catalytic evolutionary mode through which, or what would be the outcome, rather, of this evolutionary crescendo that we were seeming to be approaching 100 years ago. So they basically projected and predicted the awakening of that conscious thinking layer surrounding the Earth, in the fact that as now, in the past couple of decades, more children are being born who are born with that innate attunement to nature and have that greater awakening at birth and are born awake. They're not born asleep like generations past have been. There's a different awareness alight on the planet, and it's a mutual relationship. So, you know, some have referred to these children as crystal children and rainbow children and various, you know, terms. But the reality is it's evolving consciousness. This is what we're a part of, is the evolving consciousness that's brought about in some part by great conflict. And we've, you know, we've hit sort of a momentum now where we have to really consciously choose. And that's what changing your calendar is all about. It's making a conscious choice to synchronize my thinking, my mind, which creates all physical effect, synchronizing my mind into nature's frequency. And in doing that, there's a greater receptivity to the telepathy that Earth is actually promoting, that it is emitting, that it is transmitting to people who have the ears to hear or the heart to hear. It's just important to put that out there for people listening as we're looking at really the opportunity that we face.
Yes, totally. And continuing with this, what you were mentioning about being in a transition time is like a nested cycles. For the listeners to visualize, like this big transition from the Industrial Revolution that happened, that in the start of the, let's say, artificial time with the start of the machine and the first clock, and how that has been reaching that crescendo, that technology is basically the fuel that keeps this transition from the biosphere to the noosphere, and the geocombustive nature of that transition because of all the pollution that the technosphere or the technology produces. It's just that, of course, we need to make emphasis in the fact that we are living in very special times, not the same time that Pierre Teilhard de Chardin and Bernatsky, or even Dr. José Argüelles, because he foresaw some of these aspects of the crisis, and he wrote about them on the Manifesto for the Noosphere, and now we are seeing them. Mm-hmm. Manifesting, so it's important to to appreciate that this climax of the crisis is arriving with also with this climatic point in time where technology and artificial intelligence and quantum computers and even time travel are part of the equation, because we are every day we find that technologies is especially artificial intelligence is advancing at a very fast pace. So it opens up the entire questioning of how this transition from nature to machine from 500 years ago was also correlated to the birth of the Gregorian calendar and the first clock. Yeah. And then since then we are in this building up of waste and of the product of that process of evolution that is based on solely on technology, and that is doesn't considers nature as a very important part of the equation to keep the system. So nature, we have to talk about this many times, that nature has like a very regular pace, while technology has an accelerating pace. So that is creating a lot of issues today in relationships, even basic interactions, like going to a coffee shop or in restaurants, you see people basically sitting in front of each other, but immersing technology. And that is happening more and more. It's becoming a common scenario. So we are reaching that point that we are also seeing the dystopian nature of that and how we have lost our ability to connect with nature through technology, and what is going to look like this process of going back to nature. We can do it consciously or we can do it unconsciously. And right now, what we are seeing is a lot of projections of the collective unconscious kind of coming up, and the worst fears coming up, and the all the dark prophecies coming to the surface. And it's difficult sometimes to absorb all this dark energy and negativity and be able to reframe it. And that's why we have this show is so we can take all of that unfortunate string of events that have led us here and reframe it so that we can have hope and not only hope but empower hope, like that we feel empowered to shift or to put our grain of salt in order to tip the scales of consciousness, and that we can, especially this window of time, the last week of April is quite it's loaded with the energy of prior years. It was like in 2010, 8 years ago, that the Deepwater Horizon sinked in the Gulf of Mexico, and that was the start of a big crisis for the planet. So it's we need to consider the fact of or question at least a little deeper, why did this happen on Earth? It was just bad synchronicity, or is there like an intentional aspect of that, of harming not only the Earth physically, but harming the emotional energy of people, because it creates these events are let's be clear, we are in an information war right now, and the field is our mind. So we cannot allow those events to create damage in our minds, because then the trauma gets really amplified. So by extracting ourselves from the drama and seeing it from this perspective of how has been manipulated, and how can we correct that, or how can we get empowered by understanding that that is happening, by realizing that there is a very, very straightforward connection between world events and the calendar. And how are we going to address that in order that we don't repeat the same events like this year it happened with these attacks on Syria, which is what has created it. Was like it was not only dropping missiles on a sovereign country, but it was also it was the on the day of Friday the 13th, and it has the aspect that it was during the days of the anniversary of the Rorich Peace Pact. So it is disruption of the emotional health of people around the planet is something that we have not considered. We consider that war is only happening at the physical level, and that the not only the children and all the people who are suffering in the Middle East and in Gaza and many, many other countries that are being affected by all types of violence and war are basically living the victims of an agenda that has many years, and every time that we reach this same window, we repeat some of those events so that the trauma gets inflicted again, and people
right.
feel discouraged.
Yeah.
So this is the time
exactly.
to really not feel discouraged. This is a balancing act, not to get discouraged, because there is a lot going on for sure. There's a lot going on, and we address some of the crises that are like the parallel crises that are happening. Now we have this geopolitical crisis, which has been compared to the Cuban Missile Crisis and to the JFK moment. So it's certainly important to reframe what is happening from this historical context, and in order to see beyond the appearances, what we are watching in the news.
Totally. I mean, I think what you're saying is really interesting in the fact that these are recurring cycles. So as you're saying that, it makes me think that this is kind of like a playbook where these plays are repeated each turn of the solar year according to these particular purposes, that we see the continuity, as you're saying, when Friday the 13th is being leveraged, we'll say, to promote a potentially false flag event. You know, that was precipitating an excuse to go and create conflict or more. And I mean, this has had me thinking, as you were saying, like cycles past, where even out of the first world wars of the early 20th century, how these were all being dynamically positioned to create new nation states, let's just say that, because it's a fact, and reordering and reorganizing the arrangements of areas like the Middle East. So seeing what's happening now is the continuity of the same playbook. And we could even say the playbook is in many ways loosely related to the Bible and the Old Testament, and even its accompanying New Testament in many ways. So it's important we begin to understand and contextualize that what we're dealing with here on a very large scale are energy wars, are wars related to psychic attack, we can say, and manipulation of energy by mind control or things like this. I know we normally don't, as you said, we don't normally get into the darker layers, let's just say, or the more mysterious layers of what's happening. But I think that listeners are intelligent enough now to know, or at least have seen enough TV shows to know, that art imitates life in many cases. So the technologies that are displayed on your favorite crime show are things that have long been in use by the military or by those private interests that would have a purpose to project these kinds of things. I mean, these are facts. These are facts that we can find plenty of evidence to support. And just looking at sort of the timbre and the tone of society today, as you mentioned, with the AI and all of these other innovations, which I always find interesting, the idea is we're innovating so much on things that have had dire consequences on our life and on the relationship with the planet Earth, but we're innovating on them, but we're not actually preventing our accelerating decay by these innovations. The only thing that really is going to arrest the decay is a shift in consciousness, because it's a psychic war, and by that what I'm saying is our minds, as you mentioned before, are under assault all the time, and it also brought to mind for me this concept that I learned years ago that I've actively, even unconsciously, been allowing to operate in my life, where you have your psychic self-defense up. And what I mean by that is you have everything is energy. And so psychic information is a wave of energy. Mental projections from people are waves of energy. emanation from media devices like our phones or the television or movies or music are emanations of information and waves and frequencies of information that are affecting us on a psychic level, on a mental level. And so
the 5G,
those
the 5G is coming.
And projected and the 5G is coming, and in some cases it's already here. And all of these are meant as more control measures for mind manipulation. So by psychic self-defense, what I'm pointing out, one thing that I did in my life in light of psychic self-defense and consciously knowing the need for that many, many years ago, is I began to track the 1320. I began to track a 13-month year because I knew that that was actually helping me redirect my own mental energy, my own mental creative will towards something harmonic, something synchronized and connected to my own value, my own heart, my own awareness of my place and my purpose in time, space, and nature. So that was something I willfully engaged. And I would say that's a benefit specifically to why changing the calendar is so important. There's express benefit for people out here who are listening and people out here in the world who know by direct application the positive force impact that affects you mentally and emotionally and spiritually when you begin to recondition your mind and begin to orient yourself to a properly tuned harmonic nature or frequency that you can find then expressed as synchronicity more and more, which is really the expression of the nature of nature, synchronicity, good timing, alignment, meaningful arrangement. All of that is synchronicity. You really begin to see the beautiful, deeper meaning in your exchanges, in your relationships, in your placement in time, space, and nature. And that's something that is very empowering and very emboldening in terms of how we protect ourselves. So that's the reason I'm specifically saying the psychic self-defense element, because it is energetic protection that one can apply to themselves. Now, the challenger energy, the aggravating energy, the adversarial energy is very, very strong now more than ever. It's reached such a fever pitch, and I've seen it escalate, especially in the last 20 years. And as we see, it has gained more and more momentum through technology and broadcast media, all these tools that we now have. We're, you know, it's like the Fahrenheit 451 story. You know, all the books were confiscated or burnt, and all they had was a television screen, you know, that was observing them. That's what we're, I mean, that was a movie from the 60s. They were telling us in the 60s what was coming. So that's what we have. Nobody reads books anymore. People read Kindle. It's not a book. You know, people don't physically have a tangible, tactile book. They have a digital device to read, or they have an audio book. They don't read. Like, these are changes that have happened. These are adaptations. And they're not necessarily good, for sure, for sure. They've definitely made our situation a lot more challenging because we're that much more disconnected from, you know, our, you know, other level of abilities in many ways. Just looking at why reading something on a page is dynamically different than reading it on a screen. I mean, that alone. So we've probably, as a result, we've become mutations of ourselves in many ways. But I don't necessarily know if that's an entirely negative thing, because by those changes or mutations, other gifts and abilities are emerging for people. Because as much as I hear what's happening for people that's very challenging broadly, and we see examples of this, tragedies and the more, I also have my ear to the ground where I'm hearing people expressing their own personal journey in ways that's revealing, you know, aspects of themselves and the healing. And when one of us is healed, it heals all of us. So more and more people are that I'm seeing, you know, in my path are expressly having these experiences in a greater frequency. So it's an interesting mix of all that's happening right now at once. It's such a huge collision and convergence in a way that's, you know, unbelievable. But I think as we engage this, we talk about AI, we talk about machine learning, we talk about these things that are happening, these things that are not just on the horizon, things that are here, as this is more the societal norm, such as blockchain technology as an alternative to the centralized banks, like looking at blockchain as technology to decentralize and create greater autonomy and peer-to-peer exchange that has truth, you know, and transparency and trust. I don't think that's necessarily a bad thing. So I recognize, though, what is imperative is that we have our psychic self-defense established, and that's why changing the calendar is a part of that. Because, again, we're not going to stop these things. We're not going to stop these things from happening. These things are already happening. You know, what we are going to do, however, is we're going to begin to vibrate to a particular frequency that will draw to us others who are, and people are experiencing this now. You know, I know this as a fact. People are experiencing this more. They're finding, some people say they're finding their tribe, you know, or they're finding their affinity groups. This is a natural thing. It's happening, you know, among many people. These festivals, festival culture is really driving a lot of that in many ways. It's the arts. It's time is art. It's the creative culture. It's the alternative currency and economies that are popping up, be it a gifting economy or other types of bartering and trade systems. And you know, this is what, I mean, the cryptocurrency movement, you know, in many ways is helping to facilitate new types of exchange and human agreement. Yeah. So, you know.
Because, again,
you're putting a spotlight on it and being aware of it is as important to your psychic self-defense. It's not to be avoid that stuff. So we definitely want to encourage people to know that as you're observing and witnessing it, you're not powerless in this process. You're actually, because you're becoming aware of it, becoming empowered. And that's why it's important to be able to face this stuff straight up.
Yeah. Yeah, and also to consider the observer effect. The observer is not the same consciousness, the consciousness that is approaching to these events without understanding the subject of the dates that are used to play these events by the book. So it allows you like a detachment from and gaining perspective from the drama and seeing, okay, let's see what is going on here from a different angle that we have not perceived it before. And in just that fact, we are reshaping this hologram.
That's right. It's malleable. And that's the beautiful thing about it.
Malleable.
It's not static. It's malleable. It's energy, and we're involved in that relationship. I think we should go to a music break right now. I want to really honor the energy of the day, and I really, really appreciate this conversation. So I think these are some important ideas that need to really get out front and center, because all of us are being assailed mentally, psychically by a lot of things, a lot of violence, and that does something to us that really is disabling. Mm. Because it's just so extreme that we got to bring balance. And with that said, I really want to go to a young woman who's really, I mean, for us in our broadcast, emerged as a real favorite artist of ours in many ways. Lila June, powerful young Navajo and Cheyenne woman who is just doing some really remarkable work out there. We really want to encourage you to look her up, Lila June. And you'll find some great stuff from her online. We're going to go ahead and play a new track that I think was just released today, maybe, or in celebration
today.
See?
Yeah,
it's
that's
called
amazing.
Time Traveler. So, yeah. I mean, you know, I think, I mean, what could be better said? We're excited to go ahead and share Time Traveler featuring Desiree Harp right here on Calendar Truth on Now Time Radio. One love.
Running faster, warrior is born. Battle to be won. Past, trauma, future, hurt. I'm a child of the dirt and I'm ready to give birth. Planting a dream, panting I breathe. running towards the future with a handful of seeds. Stronger than greed, I am stronger than hate. I stand under the shades of trees planted so long ago. A product of ancestral love. I'm here because my elders dance in the sun. They would give it all up for us. And from day one, it was practiced like religion to prepare for the ones to come. We are here. You forgot how to live for a time beyond you. It's not about you, it's not about you. It's about the song that is traveling through. It travels through time. Singers will die, but the song lives on through matrilineal lines. We are here. Nature's in charge. Look to the stars. Remember who you are. Stay humble or fall. We don't know it all. And we are not exempt from natural law. Live selfishly and the structure will fall. But if we live for those unborn, then the song will go on. So before you take a book off the shelf, take a look inside yourself. Answers come to you at light speed. I'm searching for knowledge that I can't find on a newsfeed. Knowledge found through intuition. Knowledge found through fasting and dancing. This ain't superstition. It's ancestral tradition. So throw me the spear of wisdom, sharpened and sunlit. I'm giving my life to the oneness. I'm a warrior. I'm sun-kissed. I'm armed, but I'm harmless. Protecting cycles of rain and cycles of snow. Fighting for children whose names I will never know. I look up and read the messages written all across the sky. Messages telling us that it's time to evolve or die. It's time to live this life right. So that when our children look back, they look back with pride.
The great chief in Washington sends word that he wishes to buy our land. He asks much of us. This land is sacred to us. How can you buy or sell the sky, the rain, and the wind? The idea is strange to us. If we do not own the freshness of the air and the sparkle of the water, how can you buy them? Every part of this earth is sacred to my people. Every shining pine needle, every sandy shore, every mist in the dark woods, every clearing and humming insect is holy in the memory and experience of my people. The sap which courses through the trees carries the memories of the red man. The rocky crests, the meadows, the ponies, and man all belong to the same family. The perfumed flowers are our sisters, the deer, the bear, the great eagle, these are our brothers. The rivers quench our thirst, they carry our canoes and feed our children. This shining water that moves in the streams and rivers is not just water, but the blood of our ancestors. Each ghostly reflection in the clear water of the lakes tells of events and memories in the life of my people. The water's murmur is the voice of my father's father. Our ways are different from your ways. The sight of your city spains the eyes of the red man. There is no quiet place in the white man's city. No place to hear the unfurling of leaves in spring, or the rustle of an insect wing. The clatter only seems to insult the ears. And what is life there, if a man cannot hear the voices of the nightjar or the frogs around the pond at night? I've seen 1,000 rotting buffaloes on the prairie, left by the white man who shot them from passing train. I do not understand how the smoking iron horse can be more important than the buffalo that we kill only to stay alive. What is man without the beasts? If all the beasts were gone, man would die from a great loneliness of spirit. The earth is our mother. Whatever befalls the earth, befalls the sons of the earth. The earth does not belong to man. Man belongs to the earth. Man did not weave the web of life. He is merely a strand in it. Whatever he does to the web, he does to himself. Even the white man whose God walked and talked with him as friend to friend cannot be exempt from the common destiny. It is the order of nature, and the regret is useless. We may be brothers after all. We will see. Where is the thicket? Gone. Where is the eagle? Gone. The end of living and the beginning of survival.
So I wanted to come with that reflection, the speech from Chief Seattle in 1864, delivered to the men of Washington, and whose words ring ever true even now, as though this were written yesterday.
Yeah, totally. Yeah.
So, and before that, Lila June with that incredible piece of synchronicity called Time Traveler. We're going to have her here on the show one day soon. That will be an honor for this young leader to join us here on Calendar Truth on That Time Radio. And
Hey.
that's just something.
It's time to evolve or die.
What are you going to do? I mean, she said it. He said it.
Yeah.
It seems like the message, the continuity, the continuum, you know. And again, I just really want to focus on the fact that we are not powerless in this opportunity, in this moment. We have the need to be of greater support to each other, wherever and with whomever we may find ourselves, you know, in relationship to those who are willing to make a difference and to be part of the change that they want to see, you know, that they realize is you know, possible. It's up to us to help each other realize how possible it actually is. And I just am very passionate about my idea that we are more than able to win this game, as we properly called it, you know, before. I mean, and to contextualize it with an understanding that this is a game. This mental conflict and this aggression and this violence, it is in many ways it's because it's been played and we've been played and it's been played out. It's a game. It's been played. So we have to, if they say you got to be in it to win it, and we are in it. We've been in the game. That's the thing we need to wake up and realize. We've been in the game for a very long time. We haven't been aware that we've been in it. And so as people are really recognizing this matrix and they're recognizing this manipulation, you know, how this has impacted our generations, you know, across the planet for several centuries. That's the game.
Yeah.
And I realize, and we talked about this offline, but I'll say this, the ball in the game is the calendar. This is literally the game being played.
Uh-huh.
And you really have to step outside of it and step outside of your attachment to time, space, and circumstance and step
uh-huh.
into time, space, and purpose, real purpose. You know, and that's not something defined outside of you. That's something that comes up from within you as that inner knowing, that inner compass. And beginning to actually look at how important this calendar issue is to this conversation, I think we can really deeply appreciate the game as it is.
And simplify the game. Simplify the game, and you just mentioned the two main aspects of the game is that the game is played in space and in time. So if we know our real position in that matrix of space time or time space, we can really play this game in a very fluid way. It becomes
That's
like
right.
Synchronicity starts to make the process much more fluid and organic, because it's a different set of frequencies and energies operating.
That's right. And
so
it is also telepathy. And what I mean by that is really
mm-hmm.
being receptive to that voice, that indwelling voice, you know, or
yeah.
recognizing the affinity or the, shall we say, or recognition that you have for that first voice that
mm-hmm.
influences and inspires and instructs right action. Trusting that.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
and it requires
yeah, yeah, yeah.
discipline to be able to hear that voice. That voice is a part of that GPS. It's
mm-hmm.
that part of that guidance positioning system in terms of your
mm-hmm.
purpose. And,
mm-hmm.
you know, there are, as you said, in the simplification of these ideas, there are systems that are actually very simple and very elegant from the ancient
mm-hmm.
ones that actually give us the lens within which to see this. And that's that's a part of the mechanics of the game. It's part of the field of
mm-hmm.
play. And so, you know, really understanding that, especially here's Earth Day, April 22nd, you know, looking at that Gregorian lens, it's the 10th month and the 19th day of the 13-month year.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah.
it's month 10, planetary moon of manifestation, day 19, you know, and that's important to really appreciate that coordinate, because when we're talking about calendar change, we're talking about a legitimate, literal calendar change that, you know, has been going on now for 30 cycles. I mean, that's a significant amount of time.
Yes.
To consider this is a process that consciousness been activated and perpetuating itself.
Mm-hmm.
And so, again, you know, that gives me an awareness that this is something that is cumulative. It's growing and it's gathering strength and momentum. And it really is happening essentially in this window of timing. You know, when we look at the 13-month year, we haven't talked much about the mechanics of it on the call today. We've been talking about the energy and things happening generally in society and in culture
mm-hmm.
and the attack, the psychic attacks and mind control that's been perpetuated.
Mm-hmm.
The fact is, though, this movement has – the reason so much of this is happening at such an exacerbated rate is because of the strength of the evolution of consciousness.
Yeah.
So the energy that is fraught with fear of change and not having control or domination any longer is going to do whatever else it can do at an accelerated, more enormous pace or rate, you know, to deter the evolutionary patterns, or at least distract the majority of people from that wave. That wave is well in motion. It's not just happening now. A lot of people are starting to wake up now, but they really have to appreciate with some deep breath that this has been a part of a consciousness process for quite a while. And so we're beneficiaries in many ways. And that's why even the show today, we in the description, you know, mentioned that, you know, we're really wanting to pay homage and honor Jose in particular because of his specific role as inspiring the first Whole Earth Festival, as you mentioned, at UC Davis in 1969. That's not to be understated, because here's a guy who has influenced planetary consciousness not once, but twice, and here's how.
Yeah.
I would even say three times, and here's how. Earth Day, 1969, UC Davis is the first example, because in 1970, the UN declared International Earth Day, April 22nd. So the Whole Earth Festival preceded the establishment at the UN of, you know, the planetary Earth Day holiday that we're even celebrating and acknowledging today. And then in 1987, in a relationship with Lloyd Dean, and bringing forth the harmonic convergence in collaboration with many souls before the internet, before email, before any of that technology existed to spread the word, to a planetary synchronized event, a global meditation event that happened at multiple sacred sites across the planet. You know, some listeners out there will have remembered this, will have actually participated. I was 13 years old. I didn't know it was happening, or did I? I don't remember. Maybe I saw it on the evening news, because it did make the news. It did make the front page of the New York Times. I mean, this was a phenomenal event. So, again, large reach, historic, transformational, catalytic consciousness. Same individual here. And then from there, moving into the popularization from 1984, you know, with the Mayan Factor book, but really how that, well, actually, I guess that book came out in
87. Well, it came out on on Good Friday, actually, on Good Friday, April 20th.
Well, how about that? So, you know, again, pointing from that milestone to the 2012 phenomena that was an awareness popularly of an indigenous count that came into sync. I literally was in Chichen Itza celebrating in the Village of Peace Day with the traditional timekeepers of the Mayan calendar when it began anew. When it literally, as a village, the whole community came out in honor and celebration of the closing of the cycle, the opening of the next cycle. And so
it's amazing.
Pivotal opportunity, because we see what's playing out in the dynamic contrasting energy. We have to understand that there's a direct reflection we possess of the harmonic factor of that, of the responsibility and the capacity to literally, consciously, willingly, through our application, if you will, of our creative abilities, shift the paradigm. It is possible, because there's such an amazing wave of support. This is something that came up for me earlier too. We're talking about, you know, the dark energy and going into these dynamics, and we're kind of speaking to it as though it were, you know, it has its physical effect. I mean, I live in Washington, D.C. You know, people are inundated with what's going on in the political fray here in the United States, all the shenanigans and all this dynamism and all this crazy stuff, you know. But then, you know, there's the physical embodiment of that. There's the psychic energy being, you know, targeted at people through physical media and means of transmission. But then there's another dimension to this. And this gets into the other realms of dimension, where it's interesting how dimension sounds like dementia in a way, because it sort of is, you know, when somebody is said to experience dementia, they're in another dimension. But the point I'm making is that there are other dimensions of vibration that exist with and around us even now, wherever you may be, you know, out there, anywhere. And these other levels or vibrations are also having an impact on what's happening. And we don't necessarily live in an awake awareness of these realms. Some people have this. Some people have it. It's not necessarily always a good thing. Some people are burdened with an awareness of these multiple dimensions. The fact is, again, that's where the psychic self-defense comes into play, because it's not just here on Earth. it's also other dimensions of energy. So what we're seeing played out here on the physical stage, the third dimensional theater, is sort of in some ways being orchestrated by other forces. And this is important to point out because it's happening. And so one way to diminish the force of it happening, so that it's not happening to you or to me in that sense, is to talk about it and be aware of it. Give it a name.
Yeah.
Like identify that as like, okay, this is not going to be a mystery anymore. This is really somebody or somebodies who've been, you know, calling into action certain energies and entities over many, 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 many years towards certain ends. And this goes back to what we were saying before, when people start to get into the arcane and get into this types of wisdom, there's a lot there that, you know, we've been made to be ignorant of, generally. Most people are concerned with survival and entertainment. Let's be frank. So people are not aware that in the meantime, while we're living in sort of this debt culture because we got to survive and we got to work to survive and have a quality of life to buy more stuff, and then we entertain ourselves to sort of balance out or deal or numb the pain of this disconnected way of living, because ultimately it's just not fulfilling, then, you know, that just becomes that vicious, violent cycle, you know, that plays itself out. But that's to the benefit of other forces, you know, and it has to be said. Because, again, to speak it into awareness is critical to helping diminish its power over you, you know.
Yeah, and simplifying it, make it more digestible. So we are speaking about how these events are programmed in a way to create certain impact the same time or of the year, and Jose always said that who owns your time owns your mind. And that's a profound short statement, because that's the other part of the in the field that we are playing, this war on consciousness is the mind field that is the field of time. So if we don't understand the dynamics happening on that field, it's easy to get trapped into a swirl of emotions and worries and projections of what is going on and all this chaos, and perceive this matrix for what it is. Now that we have, let's see that since we started this calendar referendum initiative, we have been also realizing all these other hidden layers. This is not something that happened many years ago. This is something that is just coming up to the surface, and we are making it conscious. So it's important to frame especially this month, into what it is, which is April Fool's. The entire month is a joke, is intended to play games on our mind.
Oh, man. Wow.
Let's call it for what it is. This level of stress that happened since Friday the 13th when these attacks on Syria happened, was really in the Julian calendar, April 1st. So it was April Fool's Day in the Julian calendar.
So you mean to tell me there's a 13-day differential? Wow.
Yes.
Okay.
So there you can see two levels of how the game is being played. Because now you can see that since our business calendar is the Gregorian calendar, maybe this business as usual of what we are seeing, the same protagonists, same narrative,
same script,
same motif,
yep.
same yeah. This is a replay. It's a broken
yeah.
record. Yeah, it's a same playbook.
Yeah.
So it's easier to discern and see and call it like a bluff. Because it may
yeah.
be just bluff. It's just
yeah.
to create this
so,
fear
yeah.
and this chaos, and that's what
yeah,
we need to create more chaos. Yeah.
Totally.
So,
and I mean, it was, you know, like the fact that you shared an article with me, in fact, before the show, but it was detailing how the, you know, the timing of this being mid-April always has been manipulated to exacerbate or bring about an extra, well, it's Aries, which is the god of war, Mars,
mm-hmm.
the influence of Mars.
Mm-hmm.
So it's exacerbated to create
yeah.
the dynamic, aggressive sort of protagonistic energy almost. You
yeah.
know, or rather antagonistic energy, I mean to say, you know, to attack, you know.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
to
it's,
invade,
it's,
you know, and it was, yeah, I remember the article you shared
yeah.
gave several examples of various conflicts over the past even 20 years that were timed to take place in that window, such as the
mm-hmm.
the attack on Muammar Gaddafi and the weakening of,
mm-hmm.
you know, and his assassination and the weakening of that whole structure, and others,
yeah.
many others, Iraq, for example, and others. So, I mean, there
yeah.
were several, you
yeah.
know.
And,
you know, it's interesting that it is all in the Middle East, because, again, for cycles and
uh-huh.
eons, I mean, that conflict is an old
uh-huh.
script. It's a very yeah. old program. And so
uh-huh.
as old as it is, it's not really that old, because there are other older, bigger cycles of programs. And that's where the ancient ones that we identify as the Olmec or the Maya or other indigenous tribes have also kept these larger, grander cycles in sync with nature. So what we point to is the authority in the Western biblical West or in the Western theological framework is very limited, being of maybe 6,000 years of perspective from the whole story. But there's a whole
yep.
story here, and it's important to
yeah.
see those cycles for what they are.
Yeah, and it's
and
coming,
that's what we're
coming up.
Mapping.
It's,
that's what we've been doing. So, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And
so I want to share this. I was go ahead. You have if you want
to yeah,
say something.
Yeah, just
I
to
share
finish
this,
the
clip
this
in a second.
Yeah, just to finish that subject. Let's remember that the conflict in Syria started on March 15, 2011. That was 7 years ago. And we have been making emphasis on the importance of the seven in the completion of cycles. So, of course, what we are seeing right now is like the last chapter of this seven-year game that has been played on everyone's, because now the truth is coming out much more clearly, because we can see the game, and that makes the takes the power out of whoever are manipulating these dates, because recap, March 15 is the Ides of March, and is the assassination of Julius Caesar, and is the it was on the first month of his new Julian calendar, and he was killed by his all the priests who didn't like the calendar change. So it is a day that is correlated to death and to the deceit of people by the manipulation of time. And also important to bring back from the conversations that we have on April Fool's Day, that was originally the start of the year, and that the name, the April Fool's quality, comes from the fact that the people who were not starting their year in January, like the new Gregorian calendar were establishing, they were starting the year in the last week of March, And April 1st was considered April Fool's because of that, because that was the real, this real start of the year. And those who considered that the start of the year were called fools. So we are starting a new cycle here this month of April, to be kind of clear on that aspect. They're setting like an agenda very straight on this completion of the seventh year. And now it's much more easy to see because of the recurrence of the events and the dates, and how the position in space of Syria, which is the conflict zone, the nexus of the crisis, and all the attention of the world is going right now to place. It's close to the 33 degree parallel. And the name Syria comes from a sacred name called Sirion, which is the name for the most sacred mount in the highest altitude also in Syria, called Mount Hermon. So this is the place where it is really close to the Golan Heights, which is the disputed territories of now in by Israel, and it has the highest concentration of UN officials because of how important it is. So there is, of course, all the aspect of also the land, because of the richness of the oil and the gas, and the how important is that geopolitically for Europe to have for the West to have domination on that pipeline that is going to go through Syria. So the game is being played in space and time, and if we understand that this is the start of the game for this seventh year, we can foresee what to do and be mentally prepared, because like you mentioned before, there is many dimensions and there is a whole different doorway that is opening right now because of the advancement of technology and the singularity process between the transition from an organic evolution or the meeting point of the where organic evolution meets the transhumanism. Basically, we are in that that juncture, especially with all the 5G that is coming, that is going to be really bombarding us with a frequency net that is going to be really, really hard to avoid. So the more we are shielded by, like you were mentioning, the psychic, this mental field of time, we, by tracking these events and these cycles from this perspective, the less traumatic the revelation of the coming days is going to be, because there is a big healing happening. There is a lot of a big flush of the dark aspects of the human psyche happening with all of this, because all that has been projected for all these years, that is going to be like a difficult thing to assimilate for many. But if we can just give some healing energy to that field of the trauma and the reframing of these events from this side of the matrix, we are basically reshaping the future, and
totally.
And all these doom and gloom projections they cannot just manifest, because there is a different timeline, a different way of
a different
the organic, yeah, the organic frequency.
Yeah,
it's happening.
Yeah, it's
either
fear,
we notice
fear
it or not. Yeah.
A frequency, and so does love. You know, love emits a frequency.
Yeah.
So love and fear, you know, are unique frequencies, and so there's an exacerbation of the fear factor because that destabilizes and disintegrates a person's will. You see. And their ability to pull together their creative forces in a constructive way. So you just end up in fight or flight. You're not in a constructive, procreative, proactive way or frame of mind or capacity or even self-assertion or self-awareness. You know, so we see ourselves as victims in those cases as opposed to having all the capacity required to achieve what must be done. And I think that that is, you know, one thing we want to encourage listeners out here to really appreciate more deeply. I mean, we're having a really interesting conversation tonight, but we don't want to overlook the fact that we do invite you to visit the website, 13months28days.info. Please check out 13months28days.info to learn more about the Calendar Referendum Initiative 2020, what that's all about. And this is in the spirit and tradition of those time travelers, as Lila June so eloquently stated, who've come before us and who've, over time, through time and space, left markers and messages and information and guidance that has helped compel and propel us in the work that we're doing. So the timing that we recognize of 2020 and what that really presents in terms of number and prophecy is very, very clear in the fact that it directly links to one of the most important time travelers, that being Pakal Votan. We won't get into any depth of that right now, but it's important to say that when talking about José Arguelles, we have to look backward and forward at once. And that really is what time travel is about. We look to the past to know the future, and then we come from the future to right now. And that's where we really do encourage participation in this effort to raise awareness. This cry, this calendar referendum initiative, is meant to bring awareness to the harmonic standard that is essentially that birthright of humanity. It's an opportunity in our collective and shared reality to make a new decision that is intended to foster harmony and foster good relations among and with each other. And let's understand, it is a different frequency. So by that, it means that as you begin to reconfigure your awareness to a natural timing frequency, the effect I have felt is it creates a field of energy that is not perceptible to those who are operating on this conditioned frequency of the Gregorian calendar. So it's not something that in, you know, I guess a way of putting it is it definitively creates a frequency differential between your conscious being and people who have, as many of us have been, assailed by an artificial timing frequency. It doesn't mean that you don't interact. It just means that there is a differential that happens that actually creates a wave of connection and deep appreciation. And I feel like it also invites the responsibility to support those who are in their own path evolving and asking questions and discovering and remembering. You know, and there's part of a sort of a bridging that happens in that sense. So the coordinates of this are embedded in this calendar. And that's what we said before. The ball in this game, the prize, the goal is that calendar. So that's what's been manipulated since the papal bulls in the 1400s to now and used as the playbook.
Yeah.
That's the outcome. Yeah. That's the manipulative tool, is who owns your time, owns your mind, as we said before. So we really recognize the continuity of those who come before Pakal Votan and José Arguelles and Lloydine Arguelles, and others who continue to perpetuate calendar reform, calendar change, and that awareness, because it is such an embedded part of this to really bring the impact of that into the light of our awareness so we can make a new decision. And that's what the year 2020 really reflects, is it speaks to the prophecy of Pakal Bhutan as stated, if humanity wishes to avoid biospheric destruction, they must return to living in natural time. And that was inscripted 1,300 and at this point, 26 years. And in the year 2020, it will be 1,328 years to that prophecy. So we recognize the power of number as conveying meaning and right alignment and meaningful arrangement for what it is. So these awarenesses are what they are. And we, again, really do invite people to explore this with us, because it is a wave of consciousness. It is. It is part of the evolving relationship with the awake and aware planet Earth itself on this Earth Day, as we're invoking this. But it's not without our participation. It's not going to just happen without us. It requires our involvement. It requires our curiosity and our fearlessness to really face these illusions for what they are, these systems that have just been manipulative and have been derogatory and degrading to the human soul for so long. You know, and so we, you know, as they say, to them be their way, to us be ours, and that's part of the decision that comes with deciding to say, hey, I'm going to actually really give some consideration to what this means and what this means for future generations.
Yeah, totally. Totally. And and I will also add that to invite all the listeners to really take this last week of this month of April with a lot of with that different perspective, with this, like, just contemplating all these ideas that we just presented on this show, because it was an important show for sure, because of the sensitivity of this window, and also invite them to experience themselves what is to just. Someone asked me this week, last week, a friend, but what do I have to do? And I said, you just have to see what date it is in the 13 month 28 day, and that's for sure enough to create a small shift in this mental field, so that we can create more harmony, because we are slowly attuning to a new frequency, and the timing of like you just mentioned, the timing of the of our 2020 the milestone of July 25th, 2020, and July 26th is a really important one, and we are keeping our focus there to make sure that we are bringing these frequencies into manifestation. This is the moon of manifestation, so it's a great opportunity to put this out there and see nature do its work, really.
That's right. Well, I'm going to have to say that our time is winding down on today's show. We have about 60 seconds, but we do want to thank everybody who's tuned in to us tonight. Again, visit 13months28days.info online. If you have any questions, email us at info@13months28days.info, and we look forward to our next and future episode. We do plan to return with more of a video angle with our future broadcasts.
Yeah.
So we plan to work that out, to have the visual component, invite people to join us on a conference video space, a Google Hangout or something to that effect. But we look forward to more of that. Please continue to follow us on Facebook at Calendar Truth, facebook.com/calendartruth. And we will connect with you soon in now time to come. Giving thanks in Lakesh, Alakin, to all our relations. Aho. Giving thanks to Lakesh, Mama.
Aho.
And always.
Thank you.
Shit.
Aho.
That's love.
Ashe.